We're going to find, you're going to find this morning's message is a little different than you're probably accustomed to on Palm Sunday. I chose this message. We will find our way back to Jesus' journey on the donkey into Jerusalem in this message, but this message is geared to something I think and is more as important as his ministry there. It does reflect and relate to what happened that specific day 2,000 plus years ago. But this is going to be probably a different scripture than you are accustomed to. So I do want to go to the Lord in his word this morning. But we're going to work out of Acts. And Acts 7 is where we are. So this is Acts 7, 51, 60 through Acts 8, 1 through 3. I'm reading out of the New International, the New Living Translation. Some of your Bibles are NIV, some of them are King James. So not sure what you have, what you brought, but this may sound a little different than what you're following along, but I encourage you to follow along with us in this message. So again, Acts 7, 51 through 60. Let's see what the Lord has to say. You stubborn people, you are hardened at heart and deaf to the truth. Must you forever resist the Holy Spirit? That's what your ancestors did, and so do you. Name the one prophet your ancestors didn't persecute. They even killed the ones who predicted the coming of the righteous one, the Messiah whom you betrayed and then later murdered. You deliberately disobeyed God's law, even though you received it from the hands of angels. The Jewish leaders were infuriated by Stephen's accusations that day, and they shook their fists at him in rage. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed steadily into the heavens and saw the glory of God. And he saw Jesus standing in the place of honor of God's right hand, and he told them, "Look, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing in the place of honor at God's right hand." Then they put their hands over their ears and began shouting. They rushed at him and dragged him out into the city and began to stone him. His accusers took off their coats and laid them at the feet of the young man named Saul. As they stoned him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit this day." He fell to his knees, shouting, "Lord, don't charge them with this sin they commit." And with that, Stephen died. Saul was one of the witnesses, and he agreed completely with the killing of Stephen. A great wave of persecution began that day, sweeping over the church in Jerusalem and all the believers except the apostles, who were scattered through the regions of Judea and Samaria. Some devout men came and buried Stephen with great mourning. But Saul was going everywhere to destroy the church. He went from house to house, dragging out both men and women to throw them into prison. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our main sermon this morning, our message this morning, is entitled "Deserving the Nails, but Receiving the Palms." Jesus, in our scripture this morning, we learn many things, but one of the things that I did not talk about is the life of Jesus. And I'll get to that in a second, but I want to talk about Jesus really quick, because this is really what today and next week, this coming week and next week is all about. You see, Jesus was devoted to God's work. Paul was dedicated to God's work. The question I have for you this morning is, whom do you resemble this morning? Are you devoted to God's work and resemble God? Jesus? Are you dedicated to God and His work and resemble Paul? Or perhaps do you resemble Saul, who I read about this morning? That's a question you have to answer for yourself. To what and to whom are you dedicated to today? To mention that today is Palm Sunday, well, that simply would be like telling you it's daylight outside and the sun is shining, because anyone who is connected to the ongoings of their life will know that it's daylight, the sun's shining. It's pretty cool for an April day, but other than that, it's evident. It's something you can see, touch, live within. It's reality. And much like that, everyone who is a Christian, who has faith, believes in Jesus Christ, comes to church frequently or sometimes not frequently, but still practices their faith privately, they will know today is Palm Sunday. It's evident. Today, almost 2,000 years ago, Jesus rode into Jerusalem. And on his ride, he experienced many things. It was a ride on a donkey's back. And Jesus, what's important to know is that he was celebrated in his arrival into Jerusalem. He was actually then called the Messiah. But what's important is what Jesus was doing that Palm Sunday. Jesus was totally devoted to following the will of his Father. Jesus was dedicated to doing whatever it took to fulfill the mission that God had set before him. Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He asked God the following thing. He said, "Let this cup pass from him." Me is what he was asking. "Let this cup pass from me, but not, let it not be my will, God. Let it not be my will, Father, but yours." Jesus was committed to the work of his Father. Jesus was sold out to God. We know through Jesus and his ministry, his life, his birth, his death. We know him. We study him. And we know him truly without question, don't we? We talk about him a lot. We know who he was. We know how he got here. Brian spoke about him last week in adoption. We spoke about Christ. We speak about Christ all the time. We pray with him every day. We know him. Although this morning most people in the pulpit are preaching something completely different about the ride into Jerusalem, I want to talk about a different approach. Not the approach that Jesus took. This morning I want to look at the life of the Apostle Paul. And why do I want to do that? Because I think his life represents each of us. But more importantly, in transition, I want to look at the lives of the apostles staring back at me in the pews this morning. That's who I want to talk about. The book of Acts introduces us to a man named Saul. And through the book of Acts, we see the transition from the distinctly Jewish ministry of Jesus to the distinctly Gentile ministry of the Apostle Paul. But before we meet Paul, we meet Saul. This morning in Acts 7, 5, 8, we meet a young man named Saul. He is a Jew, and he also is a Pharisee. Saul was one of the elite group of the Jews, and he was bound and determined by whatever means necessary to put down the uprising called Christianity that we know today. Saul intended on defending Jewish tradition as adamantly as he could. Saul was committed, but his commitment was to his tradition. It was not to God or God's mission. In fact, in Acts 8:1, we read this morning, we learned that Saul was in total agreement with the killing of Stephen. And in Acts 3, even worse yet, we learned that Saul intended to destroy the church. That was his focus. Complete focus to destroy the church. Depending on the version and translation you read this morning, the verse is clear in both in the New International Version and the New Living Translation, which I read from this morning at the pulpit, Saul was dedicated to one purpose. He had one focus, and it was sold out. He was sold out to it. Destruction. Destruction of Christianity as we know it today. That was his purpose. Saul was dedicated to this purpose. The problem was that his goals were not set on Jesus, or God for that matter. He was committed to his tradition and not to God. This morning I ask you, where are your goals set? This morning I ask you, where are your priorities? This morning, what are you defending with all of your power? Is it your traditions? Is it your life that you have? Are you defending it? Do you like it? Is it comfortable? Are you defending that with all of your power? Or are you defending it like a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you defending Jesus this morning in your lives? Saul had an experience on the road to Damascus. This experience changed his life forever. And forevermore, Saul would be known to us as Paul. Because of Saul, when Saul saw Jesus on the road to Damascus, he changed. One encounter with Christ Jesus, our Lord, he changed. Saul became Paul, and Paul is one of the most devoted disciples in the Christian ministry. Do you realize that Paul, our disciple, our prophet Paul, do you realize that he wrote the majority of the New Testament that we study today? The Apostle Paul wrote 13 and possibly 14 of the 27 books. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians 1 and 2, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, and many argue that Paul actually wrote Hebrews. Now, from the Bible that I read from you this morning and the several Bibles that I have that I study from, they say that he didn't write Hebrews because it did not translate to his common letters. Hebrews was written differently. So they don't believe that Paul wrote Hebrews. So if we believe that he didn't, he still wrote 13 of the 27 books. But besides that, what is most important this morning is to recognize this. Saul, who became Paul, preached Jesus Christ everywhere he went. Paul went on missionary journeys and took the gospel of Jesus with him everywhere he went. Every corner of the earth that he lived or worked in, he took Jesus with him. Paul said that he wished to preach Jesus and his crucifixion. In 1 Corinthians 1:17, it says this. Paul wrote, "He was not preaching with crafty words," he said, "because he did not want to make the cross void in the message." There's an old statement out there that says, in modern day, anything I can talk you into, someone else can talk you out of. Paul knew this. So he used the scriptures to teach the message of Christ Jesus. Paul did not want to use pretty words. He didn't want to use million-dollar interpretations. He simply preached the gospel of Jesus Christ through the life of Jesus Christ. Paul shared with the people that he came in contact with that Jesus was born according to the scriptures. He lived according to the scriptures and he died according to the scriptures. He also preached that Jesus lived a sinless life. He was crucified for our sins, not His. He was buried and raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. And thus Jesus is now seated on the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, and there lives eternal. You see, Paul was sold out to God after his meeting at Damascus. He was determined to serve God with every breath. Paul had done some things in his life that were less than Christian life. He was, in fact, trying to kill the Christian movement and the Christians then who were trying to create it or help it out. But when he submitted himself on the road to Damascus to God, God used him to his glory. In my study for this sermon, I've prepared this sermon specifically, and next week's, I've been working on them for about 3 weeks. And so in my study of these sermons and these messages, there are many miracles in the Bible. Lots of miracles in the Bible. But I will tell you, after the study of this, I believe this is one of the most amazing miracles that exist in the Bible. And here's why I say that. God takes his archenemy, who is known as Saul, someone who is destroying his ministry and his faith and his religion and his message. He takes his archenemy, Saul, and he turns him into one of the greatest disciples known to mankind, who we lovingly call Paul. You see, Saul was sold out to tradition. But Paul, after the road to Damascus, was sold out to God. He was determined to serve God with his every breath. He was determined to serve God wherever he went. So you ask yourself this morning, Derek, how does this impact us today? And here's where the message is probably different from most this morning. The life of Saul, who we know as Paul, is just like ours. When we think about Paul, when we study him, you know, we changed his name, but he was truly Saul. Saul never left him. He knew who he was. He knew where he had been. So Paul, who we believe to be the greatest disciple, was truly Saul, the archenemy of God, but who was forever changed because he had a relationship with God. This Palm Sunday, as we reflect on the Scriptures read in this prepared message, I beg of you to let this day be your day on the road to Damascus. See, there's an underlying truth, and here it is. All of us are unlikely candidates to receive the grace and love of God. We were just like Saul until we had a meeting with Jesus Christ. I ask you to leave this place just like Paul left the road of Damascus. In fact, I want you to experience your time here at Bethel this morning as your road to Damascus. This is your Damascus. Leave this house of worship today transformed. Ask yourself what you are sold out to. Answer those questions I asked you earlier. Answer them for yourself. Be honest with yourself and answer those questions. What are you sold out to? Are you sold out to Jesus? Or are you just serving Him today with your least of efforts? Are you truly sold out to Him like Paul? Or do you just have a hint of Saul in you? What if today is your tomorrow? Have you thought about that? You see, you expect, when we talk about tomorrow, you have an expectation of what tomorrow will be. You expect another sunrise. What if I'm telling you today is your tomorrow? Where are you then? What do you think about that? What if tomorrow for you never comes? Today is tomorrow. If today is tomorrow for you, what will you hear from God this morning or this afternoon? Will you hear these words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," or will you hear something else when you arrive? Are you truly sold out to God, or are you just simply sold out? When you look to your future, do you see the time when you will be before the Lord and He will tell you that your name is not found in the Lamb's Book of Life? Then He says you will be judged according to the book of works. Do you have this to look forward to this morning? Or is this morning your road to Damascus? Can you hear God tell you, "I declare upon you this morning that I for once never knew you"? Is those the words you want to hear from God the Father? Today on Palm Sunday, you can get it right with God, much like Saul did on the road to Damascus. You can accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you can ask Him to wash away your sins. So you can too hear these words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." You see, unless we do this, we are destined for the nails. But if we are like Saul and we turn ourselves into Paul, we are destined for the parade of palms, the glory which Jesus received on His road into Jerusalem. I leave you with these final thoughts this morning in this message. Today may be all that you have. There may be no tomorrow. When you report to the line, you can either be a hero or a zero. That's your choice. It's really left up to us, individually, how we are received. I will even do you one better. Let's erase what I just said about tomorrow, today being your tomorrow. Let's erase that, for instance. I'm going to give you the same amount of time that Jesus had from the time He went into Jerusalem on the donkey until they crucified Him. That's your time. That's what's left in your life. I'm going to give you the opportunity, just like Jesus had 2,000 plus years ago this day. What will you do with that opportunity now? You see, this world is full of many independent prophets. You live in a world of prophets everywhere, quite frankly. And they love to preach things that Jesus supposedly said. And I'm here to tell you, He never said it. Listen to six things that are customary in our world today. Somebody may tell you, "Listen to your heart. It won't steer you wrong. Be true to yourself," they'll tell you. "Trust your gut. Feel good about who you are. Happiness is all that matters. Just be a good person and you'll be okay." The problem is, Jesus never said those things. We've said them 100 times, maybe 1,000, but Jesus never said them. We've heard these things so long that they become truth. And they are good things to say. And frankly, they do have some basis of truth. But what's important is, they're not the way. Let me tell you what Jesus said. "If anyone would come after me," well, that's all of us. You can look this up in Luke 9:23. "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Not follow himself. Jesus says, "Follow me." So let's add Jesus back into our lives. We're going to use the same six statements, but we're going to do it with Jesus in our life. This is what they look like. Your heart is where Christ resides. Now you can listen to your heart. Your soul is where Christ remains. Now you can truly be true to yourself. You are Christ-like. Now you truly can listen to your gut. You are loved and forgiven by Jesus. Now you can truly feel good about who you are. Christ is the true happiness. And now that happiness is all that matters. Because Jesus lives in you, now you cannot help but be a good person. The difference in these two lists is the example of being sold out to God, like Paul, or just simply sold out to the world. We have to turn ourselves into the life of Paul and sell ourselves out to God. You see, our time is short. I can't guarantee you tomorrow. In fact, I can't guarantee you lunch. I don't even know what time it is. I left my phone down there. But I can't guarantee you the next minute. The only person that can do that is God Almighty. What if today is your tomorrow? The difference between these two lists is that you are simply sold out to God's ministry. You serve Him much like the utensils on the table, unconditionally. What God is asking you to do this morning is turn yourselves into Paul. Allow this ministry here at Bethel to be your Damascus. Serve God always in everything that you do. For tomorrow is not promised. And on this Palm Sunday, we celebrate the glory of the Messiah coming into the city of Jerusalem. But I ask you, He was sinless. And what happened to Him? What did we do to Him days later? What happened? Death shall befall us. What will you hear at heaven's gate? Depart before I never knew you. Or will you hear, good, welcome. Welcome home, good and faithful servant. If we do, if we don't, let me first say this. If we don't do this, if we don't turn ourselves into Paul, if we don't share the gospel of Christ like Paul did in our ministry here at Bethel, into this world, if we don't do that, we're destined for the nails. But if we do these things, we're destined for the same parade of palms and the glory that God received when they declared Him the Messiah as they brought Him in to the city of Jerusalem. The difference between us and Christ is Christ knew what was going to happen. He knew the time frame it was going to happen, and yet He still went to the cross for me and you. He still received our nails. He forgave us. His sacrifice forgave us of our sins. He knew what was going to happen. You do not. Although you are disciples of Jesus Christ, you do not know when He did. That's the difference. Be prepared. Be a Paul, not a Saul. Amen.